Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. It's Pastor Kevin Radlin just welcoming each and every one of you to the program. I'd also like to take a moment and welcome my special guest, Martita Stanton, to the program. Hi, Martita.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing? Hi, everybody.
Yeah, so glad to have you here today. And we're so glad that each and every one of you out there joined us. We are a topical devotion that, you know, you never really know what we're going to be talking about, honestly. We have thrown some crazy topics out, and we're looking to get a little more controversial and really start talking about some more interesting topics in the world today and so forth as well. But today, I just wanted to get with you, Martita, and discuss a topic that is really dear to me because it's been a huge part of my life for over 35 years. And the topic is this: what is church?
That is a hot topic right now. It's because everybody thinks church is whatever they think it is.
Right.
They have their own opinion what church should be like or look
sure.
like.
And there's so many diverse types of churches.
Yes.
And there's so many different variables and varieties. And, you know, I've always believed that, you know, church should be what it is. It needs to be for you to feel comfortable at your church.
Correct.
And me to feel comfortable at my church. No church is ever going to be the same.
And that's
There's
okay.
There's not like a pattern or a model or anything like that. But, you know, when you look at, you know, what is church, you got to kind of tie in the question of what is church for at the same time. You know what I mean? So, you know, what is church? And what is it for? Let's dive into that.
Okay, let's go with Matthew 18:20. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them.
Yes.
He is with us. So church is not a building.
Right.
Church is the people.
Absolutely.
So if two of, like you and I
We're
right now.
We're having church right now.
That's right.
There's two or more gathered.
That's right.
Mark's with us as well. He's our engineer. So,
that's right.
You know,
so the three of us
three.
Are having church together, and he's presses this right here because we're here to worship him, honor him, learn more about him,
yeah.
get closer to him, and that's the key.
Sure. You know, I think there's a key that we have to bring out in this particular scripture, though, Martita, because two or three people will gather in a lot of different places. You can have two or three people gather at the bar. You can have two or three people gather at the beach. You can have two or three people gather, you know, just about anywhere. And that's not church.
No.
You see, the key in the scripture says that where two or three gather in my name.
Correct.
What name is that? The name of Jesus, okay? When we come under Jesus, now we're having church.
That's right.
So,
and we can have church anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are,
right?
As long as you're talking about the Lord. And again, it's to bring him praise, honor, worship, learning about him. That is what you want to know. It's,
sure.
It's, you want to be praising him.
Absolutely. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, you said, you know, that you're learning. And it says this: all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God and woman of God,
mm-hmm.
we want to make sure we reiterate that, may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know, what is church? Church is a place where, you know, you can get reproof, where you can get correction, where you can get instruction in righteousness, and that's what it's for. It's for, you know, equipping the saints to see them grow, to see them become something more than what they were, and God moving them forward in their life and helping them to mature. And it says that the man and woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
I want to add to it. It's like me going to school. I go to school not to get beaten by the teacher.
Right.
I go to school to learn and to benefit and to change in a positive way.
Sure.
The Bible is the same way. Some people use it to manipulate and hit people over the head with it. You've done wrong.
Right.
Instead of going...
We see that all through Scripture with the Pharisees.
Yes. Instead of going, this is a love letter from the Lord to teach us how to have a better life and get connected to Him. And profit is for our benefit. It's profitable. It's for our benefit.
That is so good. So I would venture to say then that, you know, what is church for? It is, you know, for all of those things, for instruction in righteousness so that we can come and learn and grow and be who God's called us to be. But it's also for reproof and correction. You know, as a pastor, it's always, that's the hardest part of my job. In many instances, is when people are not doing something that is biblically, you know, correct. And then you have to try to speak with them. And then you get involved with issues and pride and stuff that people are just, you know, they want to do their own thing the way they want to do it. But not all of that is right. So you have to make corrections. And I would encourage each of you that are listening out there that when you are at church and you do need correction to receive that correction, because God uses your teachers and your leaders at your church to direct you and to guide you. You can trust that God will speak through them. And you know what? They're not all right. And we've seen church leaders and people get weird, and you've seen cults and stuff like that develop over this type of stuff. So you got to do it all with wisdom, Martita. You got to be willing to But you got to be willing to submit yourself to leadership for correction, as long as you believe that correction is from the Lord, you know, and you should always pray about that kind of a thing. So
I believe also to do it in a humble way and in a loving way,
sure.
Not from I am in this position.
Right.
And I
mean, as a leader. Right?
Yes.
Yes. OK.
Or even people with other people.
Right.
They look down at people or they speak down to people. And look, we all make mistakes. So
Absolutely.
We have to do it with the right motive, and it really helps when you have a relationship. Let's give an example. You and I, we've known each other for a long time.
Sure.
We respect each other, and we trust each other. And we know that when we go to each other and correct each other, we do it out of love.
Right.
Because we really care for each other.
Sure.
And I don't do it in front of people, neither do you. We go, hey, can I talk with you? And we'll meet together.
Right.
And you'll bring up something that you might have seen on me or that I've seen on you. And I go, hey, can we talk about this? I've seen this. Am I right or wrong? You know.
Yeah. How do you feel about
that? How do you feel about this?
Right.
Can you pray about it and see what the Lord says?
Sure.
I used to have my old boss, and he will call me in the office and he will say, can we talk? And I'm like, because my pride will get hurt, you know.
Sure.
Everybody has some pride. And I will say, okay, let me breathe. Let me sit down and I'll listen to you. And he will bring correction to me very respectfully, very honoring. And I will say, okay, that hurt, but I'm going to pray about it. And I will go pray to the Lord. And sure enough, he was right every time. And
sure.
Then I will come back. I said, you know, thank you so much for calling me out on it.
Yeah.
And I know you're doing it to help me.
Yeah.
Because it's the truth. And then I will change. But that's the thing. When you hear it, take it to heart.
It's like, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, ouch, that hurt.
Man,
but then.
Just don't twist while you're.
But, you know, it's how he did it and how we come across.
Oh, yeah. I had a boss one time, and he told me that he says, man, you are a champ. You can get any project to 80% faster than anybody I know, but you can't finish anything. I need you to learn how to finish projects and stuff, because I'm that super energetic,
yeah.
Get it, and then I get bored with it, and I just move on to the next thing,
yeah.
And never really completed it. And it was really one of the most powerful things that ever happened to me in my life, was learning how to finish things. And he was absolutely right.
But you know, you got help. I remember when we worked together, you told me that, and you said to me, can you help me and hold me accountable for
right,
it?
Right, right.
And I will come to you, I say, hey, you remember what you said, and it's getting help.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we got help. Get somebody you trust and you value. Have a relationship, and you can do this. You don't have to do it alone.
Sure. So let's look at another scripture. What is church for? In Hebrews 10, 20 and through 25 says, by his death, Jesus opened a new and living or a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, and listen to this, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. And I would say this, Martita, what is church and what is it for? It is a place where we can come with a guilty conscience and we can find the blood of Jesus. We can find forgiveness. We can find grace and peace and strength and wisdom and have our hearts sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, and we can be made clean again, and our bodies can be washed with pure water. And that pure water is the washing of the water of the Word. You know, the Word of God is coming forth, and it will, the Word of God can correct you without anybody even having to talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible says we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So I think that's a powerful scripture on why. You know, what is church and what is it for? It's for you to go and get yourself cleaned up.
So, like, let's say if I want to go to the gym because I'm out of shape, I don't get in shape to go to the gym. I go to the gym and I start working out to get in shape. The same is for church.
Yeah.
You don't have to clean yourself to go to church. You go to church to get cleansed.
Gotcha. That's such a good analogy.
You know?
I like that. You know, when I would go to the gym, I always said, you know, I need to get in shape, you know, and then I would come to the conclusion that round is a shape.
It is.
But yeah, it's good. But I really think there's a lot of people out there that think that they're coming to church and church is condemning them, when really church should be a place where you come not to be condemned, but to be cleansed
and to be set made whole. Free. And
yes. I mean, and I think we miss that a lot of times in our dealings with people at church, because the church should look more like a hospital.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So I think this is a powerful scripture in Hebrews 10, 20 through 25, that we need to be washed with the pure water of the Word.
Okay, so I'm going to go on because you read to 22. I'm going to read 23 to 25. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near.
So good.
Do not neglect our meeting together. You know,
we need that.
Yes, because when we do it on our own, and I'm not saying I'm condemning anybody on this, I'm just letting you know, when you are trying to do it on your own, it's easier to get out off track. But when you're together and you love each other and you become a family, that's where you want to hang out and you encourage each other in love. It's harder for the enemy to attack you.
Absolutely.
Because an army needs to be together.
Tightly knit.
Exactly. For power, authority, protection. But when you're on your own.
Right.
Who's watching your back?
Sure. Well, the enemy always tries to separate you. You know, if you look at hunting shows where animals are hunting each other, they always try to separate the weaker ones from the herd, you know, and then they attack them and they kill them. And that's the way
no mercy.
John 10, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to try to get you away from church. He's going to try to get you away from a place where you can be motivated by one another to acts of love and good works and those types of things. And he's going to try to get you separated from that and take you out.
Definitely. That's the way he always does it.
So I think church should be a place where we encourage one another, just like the tail end of that scripture says, and especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Okay, I love that piece, because guess what, guys? Jesus is coming back.
Soon.
Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
And we've got to begin to prepare. There's going to be there's a great harvest beginning to happen in the church and in the world. And people are going to come running to God even sooner than we think. There's going to be a huge harvest that's about to take place.
So people are hungry.
Built up, but we can't judge them when they come. We can't be like, well, you did this, you did that, you know, so you're unworthy. You can't come in here. We've got to open the doors and allow Christ's love to be
In 24, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. It doesn't say, let us look to see how we can judge each other and pick on each other and see what, you know, how we're falling short.
Right.
It's the opposite.
Sure, sure.
It's look at the good in every person. I've said this before. Lord, let me see people through your eyes and let me love them through your love. That I can see the true person and call that person out. Okay? I can say, Lord, what do you see in this person? And he'll show me. This is an evangelist. And I can say, you're supposed to speak the word of God and go out there and touch lives. This is who you are. Not what you're acting like right now. No, that's not who that person is. Or say, hey, come on. The love that is in you, let it flow through and speak to people. So we need to speak to that. Bring it out.
Yeah.
So it can flow. Bring who the Lord created. Don't look at what they're doing right now, because that's out of brokenness.
Sure. You know, and we've got to get to a place where we have the door open for the world. And that's kind of brings up our next question is, you know, what, you know, we said, what is church and what is it for? Well, what should it look like? What should church really look like when people come to church? And I've been in the mission field my whole life as a believer for 30 plus years, and I've been to church all over the world, and it's never looked the same. Church in Africa doesn't look like church down in the Amazon jungle, and church in the Amazon jungle doesn't look like church in, you know, Costa Rica, and church in Costa Rica doesn't look like church in America. So, you know, it's everybody coming together and doing their way of life and bringing their culture into a place where two or three people gather together and they share. But one thing I do see as a common denominator in all of those churches is found in Psalms 150. And it says this, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and the pipes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath, listen to me, praise the Lord. So what is a common denominator that we should see in church?
In every single church. Always, praise the Lord.
There's always an element of praise
and
worship to God.
Yes.
So, you know, that is just
And let's be real. Like you said, in Africa, in South America, in Central America, in Asia, they're all going to praise in a different way because that's what they do. They have different styles of music,
praising.
But they're praising.
Exactly.
So let's look at it this way. How does church look in heaven?
Right.
Does he separate the churches? Does he separate everybody? Or does everybody go together as one in unity? Look, if we all believers praise the Lord in unity,
right.
Satan and his dominion has no power, nothing.
Yeah. Praise binds the enemy.
Exactly.
So let's look at Colossians 3.
Yes. 3:16
says, let the message about Christ in all of its richness, fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. So I see the second element of church here. We've said that praise is an element that we should see in church and what it looks like. And it does say here in the scripture to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But look at the first line. It says, let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. So The second thing that I see when people are gathering together, it doesn't have to be in this big corporate setting, but when you and I gather together, there's a message. We talk about things of God, scriptures. We talk about the word. We encourage each other and bounce off each other ideas about the scripture. And even in the bigger corporate services, there's a message that's being given so that you can learn and be instructed in righteousness and be fulfilled in learning about God through the message.
And in here it says, with thankful hearts, come in, praise, worship, open your heart, have the right motive, and open your heart to really hear the word, really take it in, and let it transform you, and really worship from the spirit, soul, and body. Not just one part, the entire wholeness.
Right.
Say, I want to worship you, Lord, from my spirit, my mind, my heart, and my entire body.
Yeah.
Show it.
Sure.
Show it to the Lord.
So good.
Go wild for him. If you're in a football game and you're jumping and painting your face and doing all these foolish things for a football game,
right,
how much more should we do for the Lord?
Absolutely.
The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
So you're saying it's okay to get crazy in church.
Go crazy for the Lord.
For the Lord. Yeah, dance.
Do from the heart. Forget everybody else. Worship the Lord, but again, with the right motive. Not so people can see you.
Right.
So the Lord can see you.
That's right. I love that. So what we've come to the conclusion is what should church look like? It should have worship element. It should have teaching elements, and it should have correction. It should have
love.
It should have
encouragement
and a cleansing aspect. You know, we do communion at church, and we preach on the ability of the blood of Jesus to cleanse us and make us whole. So I think those are some really key elements that we need to know and understand. And when we go to church, if we don't see those elements,
yes,
then we're not really in church. We're just in a service of some kind. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break, everybody. I hope you're enjoying this because it's really been powerful, and we'll be right back.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, I've got Martita Stanton with me today, my great friend and previous Bible college professor, and we've done a lot of
ministry together
and ministry, and you know, we've had a lot of fun, and we've gotten down and done some damage to the kingdom of darkness as well. But we've been talking today on what is church, what is church for, and we just kind of hinted on that communion and that cleansing aspect. So I kind of want to close the program out, Martita, with just talking a little bit about communion.
So let's read 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
So good.
Oh my gosh. And I love that at Lighthouse, we do communion every week.
Yeah, I believe it's important. It's a weapon.
Yeah, and not only that.
And a reminder.
It is a reminder. And this is the reason we're in here. We get together because of Jesus Christ, because of what he did for us.
Right.
And learning and getting close to him and give him worship. And what better way to give him worship than saying, "Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice
right.
that you did. Thank you, Father, for sending your son for our salvation so we can be reconciled to you and have a relationship with you."
Absolutely.
This is so important.
It is. It is. You know, so we've come to the conclusion that what is church and what is it for? It's for equipping. It's for growth. It's for all of that. What should it look like? It should have worship. It should have a message, and it should have an element of remembrance. Okay, that's what I really wanted to drive home is that, you know, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. If you're at a place and they're calling it church and there's no remembrance of what Jesus has done, there's no message of Christ and hope for his, you know, kingdom, and there's no worship to God, you're not in church, okay?
You're just in a gathering.
You're in a gathering. So we hope that you are instructed now and you understand this better. And we are so blessed that you joined us on the program today. Thanks so much for tuning in, Martita.
You guys have a blessed day. And thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you.
God bless you guys.
Bye.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.